You're listening to the Discipleship for Busy Blokes podcast with host Nick Whitten. We're in conversation with ordinary blokes from all walks of life working out what it means to follow Jesus Christ. The podcast is a part of Empower, which is a global ministry serving the men of the Elim Pentecostal movement and beyond. We see men everywhere as having the potential to become a great band of brothers, and we look out for each other, encourage each other, and challenge each other to be the best and most whole version of ourselves that Jesus has in mind for us. You can find this podcast on Anchor, iTunes, Spotify, and more. Just search Elim Empower to find us. We publish a devotional email called Fuel for the Week straight to your email on a Monday morning at 6 a.m. to encourage and challenge you in your faith. If you are not already receiving these, please type empower.zone into your browser to find us and do sign up. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Just search Elim Empower. Join in the conversation, gents, and get yourselves connected in. You are very welcome to be a part of things.
Discipleship for Busy Blokes.
I'm really delighted to welcome Saracens and England number 8 rugby player Billy Vunipola to the Discipleship for Busy Blokes podcast. Billy, thank you so much for making some time to chat with us this morning.
No worries.
Could you just open by telling us a little bit about where you're from and your family?
Yeah. I'm of Tongan descent. Grew up in Tonga for 6 years, then we moved to the UK. I say UK because we first started off in Wales. We then made our way to England here, to Bristol. After that, we made our way slowly to where we are now. I'm in St Albans, but my parents are based out of Hammersmith.
Your number 8 position that you have at Saracens and on the England team is kind of at the back of the scrum. What's really important about that role?
I kind of provide for the number 9. Give him quick ball. The quicker the ball, the less defenders you have to run against and the more chances you've got to score and tries. And on the flip side of that, I try and stop the other team from having quick ball. So that's essentially what I do. It's going really well and I'm enjoying it.
What would you say has been the kind of the highlight game of your rugby career so far?
It's hard to talk about highlight games without just talking about finals and recent games, but if I was to say one, it probably that sits in the top of my head is probably Saracens game against Munster 2 years ago. We played at the Aviva Stadium. Basically, it was us against the whole stadium and obviously the whole of Ireland. And it stands out in my mind because of the situation we went into. That sits in my mind quite vividly.
Is there a particular try that you've scored in your, you know, rugby history that you're particularly proud of, the way that it kind of unfolded or the way that it happened?
I don't have a try that I think of necessarily. It's more my influence on providing a platform for a try. I don't really think about tries. I don't even know how many tries I've scored.
You've scored a fair few. I was having a look at some of your stats online and there's been some pretty notable tries that you've scored.
But if I was to pick one, most recently the one I scored against Leinster sits at the top of my head, but again, I think if you watch that, I don't really celebrate. You know, I just want the team to do well. So that was my contribution to the team. And I guess through a try, I'll take it, yeah.
Have there been any tries that you've seen played, you know, either at a stadium or perhaps on the TV and you thought, wow, that's just fantastic. You know, are there any particular moves or tries in rugby that you've thought have been just superb?
Just from YouTube, I think there was a try that the Chiefs in New Zealand scored against the Western Province, or the Stormers, sorry, of Cape Town. They went from their own try line. That was, you know, like you said there, I watched it and I thought, wow, that's how rugby's supposed to be played. You know, that's a pretty cool way to do it.
Sometimes when I've been watching the rugby, they do this thing near the end where they kind of say who the man of the match is. And I picked up that, you know, in 3 of the 2016 Six Nations championship games, you got named man of the match yourself. Is there anything that they do back in the changing rooms to celebrate that? Or is it just like a kind of a mention, you know, by the commentators? How does that work?
Obviously, you get told after the game if you're the official man of the match and then you get given an award. But those awards are used as a gift to people. But again, it's basically like what I can do to help the team. And if it means I play well and I get man of the match, then so be it. But I never go into a game thinking I want to be the man that everyone talks about.
When you play with your brother, is there like a special bond between you two? Or is it just kind of you're all in for the team, you know, to get the game done?
I think we read each other really well. Obviously, we're brothers and we've got that advantage that most other people don't have. There's quite a few players now who have their brothers next to them, but to do it at the highest level is unique.
Yeah.
And something that we're really proud of, and not, you know, something that we don't take lightly. So we'll cherish it for as long as we can keep doing it. Like you said, we do have a bond, and sometimes that comes through language. We speak Tongan to each other, and no one else can take that away from us. So I definitely say there is.
It's ever such a pleasure seeing you guys playing together, you know, on the TV. One thing I wanted to ask you was that it's very fashionable at the moment to talk about being military fit. Just give us an idea of the kind of training that you have to go through to be fit for an international rugby match.
I think the hardest training period is pre-season. A lot of people talk about it and joke about it.
This is pre-season, did you say?
Pre-season, yes. So before the season starts, there's a lot of running, volume running, a lot of weights, and a join with that is trying to eat a balanced diet. There are days to eat a lot of, you know, your treats and, say, your junk food, and then there's days to pull back on it. And then once you get into the season, it's more of the same. But because of the games and the volume of physical contact, it's more just maintaining your level of fitness and staying on top of it, and also staying on top of my weight. It's just something that I have to look after, whereas some other boys, they have to make sure they keep on weight. So they're doing what I love to do, which is eat. And they hate to do it, so there's always a, I guess, positive and a negative. But it's like anything in life.
My wife, Chloe, wanted to ask this question. We have three boys ourselves. We were just kind of wondering, like, how your mum manages it when she watches you play. Like, does she ever speak to you after a game and ask you if you're okay? I mean, how does that work?
Oh, they always message us, our parents, before the game to wish us luck and obviously to say a prayer. Normally they tell or encourage us to read Psalm 91. You know, there's always that worry there, and my wife worries a lot. We go in with our eyes open, knowing that rugby is a physical sport. And
yeah.
Sometimes we do take that for granted, that you come off and you're injury-free, because I've had a recent run of injuries, but it's part and parcel of the job, and people say it's a negative, but, you know, it's part of my job.
Now, I know that your mum is a Methodist minister and that you have a Christian faith, but how did you decide to sort of start following Jesus for yourself?
I've gone to church my whole life. Been told to go to church by my parents, and like everyone else, and most people out there, you go because your parents tell you to. You don't really listen for the messages, and you don't really think about it until something happens in your life where you think, oh, why do I feel so empty, or why do I feel like there's something missing. People look for things like alcohol and drugs and other things, psychologists. And I tried all that. Well, not all of it, but I tried some of those things, and it just left me worse off. And the day I decided to follow Jesus, it was hard because I had to stop going out all the time and partying. I'm not saying I don't do that anymore, but like I said before, about my diet is a balance and making sure that I'm not overdoing it. Making sure that I'm trying to follow God's law as close as I can.
Do you feel God's approval over you when you play rugby?
I see it more as using the talents that God gave me, and he's given me the platform. There's lots of different platforms, and this is my platform to share the word of God and glorify God in that way.
How do your teammates take your faith? Are they cool with it? Has it ever caused any conflict?
They're pretty good with it. They know that I believe in God and that I'm religious. I think a lot of them sometimes wonder how I can have so much faith in something that you can't measure,
yeah,
or you can't see. And I guess that's why faith is such a big deal.
Has your faith helped you during tough times like injury or setback? You know, how have you lent into your faith when you've had an injury, for instance?
It's kind of been both of a shoulder to cry on, and also, you know, encouragement for me, knowing that injuries and bad situations in your life will always happen. And sometimes there is a reason for it, and sometimes there isn't. And I think a lot of people buy into the notion of karma. A lot of people buy into the notion of the prosperity, I guess, gospel, rather than thinking about the characters that God uses in the Bible. They haven't all been perfect, and if you fail, that doesn't mean that you stop. It just means you get back on your bike and you pray for forgiveness and you move forward rather than just falling into a deeper and deeper hole.
Do you think there's anything that rugby can teach the church?
Rugby is made out of individuals, similar to a church. And some people are more geared to seeing what they can get out of it, and some people are more geared to helping other people. And we kind of accept people for who they are. You know, we're not there to judge, and that's what we are in the rugby team. We're all from different walks of life. We come close together in pursuit of trying to be, you know, the best players we can be. And I think we can definitely relate that to church. You know, with church, we're all from different walks of life, but we all want to try and know Jesus that little bit more. So it's for us to try and encourage everyone to be better, I guess.
You know, listening to you talk, it does come across, you're very team-focused. You know, there doesn't seem to be room for big egos in rugby.
There's a lot of people on the team. There's 15. And there's definitely space for individuals. But at the same time, there always has to be a time where the individual has to give over to the team. And that's something that I've learned over the years, as much as I'm still learning.
Have there ever been points at which your faith or your sporting career have kind of been at odds with each other? So, for instance, all the guys in the team want to go out and party in a way that you're a little bit uncomfortable with, or maybe there's occasions where you've had to miss church because you've got training. How have you navigated those kinds of things?
There definitely is conflict. There definitely always will be conflict. I guess that's why a lot of people feel disenchanted with faith, because they feel like you can't do all the fun things in life. And you can. It's just sometimes there are things that is probably a step too far, and I've definitely gone that step too far. But you ask for forgiveness, and like I said before, you kind of metaphorically fall off the bike. You get back on as soon as possible, and you make sure that you don't keep falling off, or you don't stay on the ground. And that's an important lesson. It's not to say that you can go out and do it every weekend and you'll be fine.
To be like a successful rugby player like you obviously are, you've got to be able to take some pain, you know, physical pain in the game and through the training, and also kind of face disappointment as well. Any advice or tips on how you navigate or face pain and disappointment?
Things are always going to go wrong in life. You look at the book of Job, God talks about him as his holiest disciple at the time, and things went wrong for him. And I think it doesn't matter how perfect you are or how imperfect you are, God will always love you and always forgive you for whatever sins that you have committed, like David. And I think that's what gives me peace, is that I don't have to go out there and be perfect anymore. People can say what they think about me or think what they want to think about me, but I know that what I'm searching for is bigger than anything on this world. It's not materialistic.
Just a couple more questions, if I may. If you had somebody kind of like a young Christian coming up through the ranks, really talented in some sporting area, any advice, you know, from your life experience that you'd maybe want to give to them?
I think what I would say is that you're always learning. Don't ever think that you're better than the coaches.
Yeah.
We're trying to teach you. We're trying to coach you to make you better, because I've made that mistake before.
Uh-huh.
And I will make that mistake again. And it's always to listen to your coaches. They always want the best for you. In terms of disappointment, like, it's always gonna happen, but sometimes, like I found out, is that God has a bigger and better plan for you. Whether that is on the field of rugby or away from it, or, you know, God wants you to spread his message somewhere else. You know, a bit like Jonah, he didn't want to do what God told him to do. I've been myself in situations like that before. So failures sometimes are ways of God testing you, but also showing you that there is a better way. There's something else bigger. So to always have faith and not to try and find it in things like alcohol and things like that.
I had tons of questions sent to me by my friends who were pretty envious that I got a chance to chat to you today. One of the questions they asked was, if you could get Jesus to play in your team, is there a particular position you'd put him in?
I'm not sure about that one. If I was to play with Jesus, it'd be unfair for the other team, because we'd win all the time. Actually, we'd probably lose, because there'd be a reason for us not winning. So.
Yeah.
I'd probably say to Jesus to bring on the waters and encourage us.
Oh, that's great. Billy, would you be kind enough just to say a little prayer over the gents who are going to be listening to this podcast? That'd be very kind of you.
Lord, we thank you for all of your love and all of your blessings. We thank you for the things that we don't realize that we have in our lives. And we thank you for the gratitude that you put in our hearts. Thank you for the forgiveness that you shower us with every day of our lives, because we know we are sinners. We pray that you forgive and continue to love us, guide us and protect us on the path that you have set before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.